You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
It's a divisional week, y'all, and thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We're recording Wednesday, January 19th, back on our regularly scheduled day. I got my homie Nathan Beagle in the house with me, aka Nate Dogg. Nate, how was your NFL super wild card weekend?
It was pretty good, a lot of fun. My Bengals won, so I can't complain.
You ended up not going to that game, right? You stayed home.
I did not end up going to the game. Didn't know how I'd feel earlier in the week, and then once you get 2 or 3 days pregame, you're not buying tickets. I was thinking about going to the game this weekend in Nashville because I live in Cincinnati and that's about 4 hours, but like $320 for nosebleeds was just not worth it.
Yeah, I hear you. Did you have a profitable wild card weekend?
I know for my best bets, I went 2-2. I know I hammered the 49ers +3. I killed that one. I definitely missed with the Raiders, Bengals, and then I missed with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So I think I went 2-2 on the podcast. I don't think I did as well in real life.
I think I went 1-2 on the podcast. I did a little better in real life because I loaded up on the Bills. I whiffed on the Raiders, though, although I thought that was an awesome game. Hell of a sweat at the end. Whiffed with my little teaser middle situation that I did with the Raiders or with the Cowboys and Bucks Niners. So I teased the Bucks down, which covered, teased the Niners up, which covered, but the Cowboys didn't end up getting home in what was kind of a crazy game. But it's the NFL playoffs, right? I mean, all these games are kind of crazy. So we move on. Typically, the wild card weekend is my profitable week in the playoffs, and the division round I just get shitted on. So hopefully, I'm breaking that curse or breaking that trend this year because my wild card weekend wasn't that profitable. So hopefully, divisional round is. I like these games. They all went chalk with the exception of the 49ers beating the Cowboys, right? I don't know. I don't think we're missing out on any games or any teams that should or shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier, and like the tier between a top tier team this year and like a mid tier playoff team, I feel like was more extreme than usual. Like that's like a lot of these underdogs didn't cover. Well, the Steelers shouldn't have been in the playoffs. The Eagles shouldn't have been in the playoffs. The Raiders barely should have been. I think it all relates back to the NFL just putting a seventh seed in there and then adding more games just for the sake of revenue. So I never thought the seventh seed was necessary, and I think we just saw that with the blowouts and wild card weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if that necessarily proves it, but I don't disagree with what you're saying for the most part. I don't think like more is more equals better in this situation. I was cool with the six teams each conference advancing to the playoffs because I think like the exclusivity or the limited occupancy of the playoffs made it cooler. I like two seeds or two teams getting a bye as well, but I mean more football isn't bad. I can't really hate on more football if I'm being honest, especially as avid of a gambler as I am, you know.
Yeah, no, same boat. Even though the two added games would have lost me a couple bucks this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, the seventh seed thing didn't work out this year, but there was a world where the Chargers get in this year, and you got Justin Colts Herbert in the playoffs, and that's awesome. Yeah, the Colts get in, and maybe on the NFC, it's not as sexy as a team, but like if New Orleans had gotten in over Philly, I would have been a little more interested because we know New Orleans has an awesome coach, awesome defense, and Alvin Kamara is going to be out there, so maybe he can go off for one game and steal them a victory. But Yeah, I don't know. It stinks that we didn't get a better wild card weekend. I mean, a lot of those games were unwatchable unless you had money on the games, which I'm assuming everyone who's listening did on some way or the other. But I don't know. I do think it does set up for interesting matchups, or I thought the wild card weekend set us up for interesting matchups, at least this week. So
I will say lastly real quick, I think the AFC, as you noted, I think the AFC was kind of missing some of their star power. I mean, it would have been really nice to see Herbert and Jonathan Taylor out there, but
yeah, Herbert specifically. How the cards fall. Herbert specifically, because I want to see like the Herbert and Burrow head-to-head for years to come, stuff like that.
If we'd have got Herbert, Burrow in this with Mahomes and Allen on the other side, it would have exploded.
I know. And everyone poo-poos Ryan Tannehill being there, like as if he's the fly in the ointment. But Tennessee has been consistently a playoff challenger and contender for years. And it's going to be kind of my theme for a couple of teams. But this is the culmination of years of hard work within the organization, the head coaching, and you know, the Tennessee brought Ryan Tannehill over on a flyer. They ended up sitting Marcus Mariota and benching him for Ryan Tannehill, which was slightly controversial at the time, and it's paid off, and Ryan Tannehill has been one of the highest graded passers in the league for the past couple of years. His numbers dipped off this year, but they dealt with a whole bunch of injuries to A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, and still he guided them to a first seed. So, I mean, I'm excited about just the remaining games in the playoffs, and the quarterback's still in it. So,
all right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's break it down. But actually, first, let me pay some bills here and shout out our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook, who's a global sports betting leader that's now live in New Jersey. In Colorado, you can make your favorite sports more interesting by using Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. You can get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older to game. So please see Tipico's website for details. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey, 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. Okay, so on to the AFC, the first AFC divisional round matchup that we'll break down. Cincy Bengals visit the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, Cincy just came off of a wild card victory over the Las Vegas Raiders, which came down to the final seconds. Tennessee had a first round bye. I think they finished 12-5 in the regular season.
12-5.
Currently, the Titans are 3.5-point favorites, and the total sitting at 43. What are you doing with this game, if anything at all?
So I was going to tell the listeners, bet on the Bengals. I'm not going to be that irresponsible. I do like the Bengals in this situation, but they did just lose their starting defensive tackle for the rest of the season, so that's going to be a little impactful. I'm going to shy away from giving the Bengals, so I'm going to head to the total. I like the under here. For starters, the over, as in what we were talking about before, is going to be heavily hit in most of these games. The Bengals have a rocking offense. Titans have a good offense as well. But if you watched last week, the reason the Bengals were able to score 26 points was basically because they couldn't finish in the red zone. I mean, they got a strip fumble, couldn't finish it, ended up, I mean, they had four field goals, two touchdowns. Yeah, so, and that was actually, so that was on the Raiders who ranked dead last in red zone scoring percentage. Now the Titans ranked top five in that area this season. I don't think this is going to be a touchdown heavy game. I see it being like a 23-20, 24-21 or 24-23 or something in that ballpark. I don't see there being a lot of capitalizing on the opportunities at hand. Also, you got to consider Henry hasn't played in months. I think he'll at least have a couple drives to kind of get himself back acclimated to the speed of the game. So I'll take the under 47 in this one. Again, it's going to be a nice public fade. I would watch for any reverse line movement if this continues to get lower, but I think it'll probably get go higher, more towards the game time.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on the under. Everyone is on the over, at least according to pregame.com and the Yahoo Sports app, for that matter. I'm sure there'll be some buyback from the market or from sharps eventually. So I'll just take it at 47.5. 47 is a key number. I've cited this stat a lot when I've talked about overs this year, and you know, you've heard it from me a million times, but it's pace, right? I mean, we look at pace when projecting NBA totals, and I think it's one of the bigger factors to projecting NBA totals. And I feel pretty similarly about NFL and its pace. Tennessee is 27th in seconds per play, and they actually have the highest rush rate in the league. That didn't really go anywhere when Derrick Henry went out with injury, right? They just kept running this kid, Dontre Hilliard, I think his name is. Dante Hilliard and Donta Foreman, both of which played pretty well in Henry's absence. And, you know, all three of them are going to be on rested legs and should be good to go. So I anticipate Tennessee pounding the rock a lot. Also, Cincinnati's 30th in seconds per play. They're actually slower than Tennessee, even though they don't run the ball nearly as much. That being said, I mean, people look at Joe Burrow and his awesome wide receiving group, but Cincinnati does like to run the ball too behind Joe Mixon, and they know that, you know, if Joe Mixon gets going, that can help them win this game. Also, Tennessee is 1-3 on the over-under in playoff games with a -8 total margin in the Vrabel era, which started in 2018. Since you didn't give official play, but I like the Titans -3.5 here. I do, buddy. Sorry if that pisses you off.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to quickly note is our run defense is our weak point, our pass defense, as we kind of showed last week, even though Carr went over his projected passing yards, that is our weakness. So it would kind of be shocking to me if we can hold Henry down for too long.
Yeah, the guy that went down, Larry Ojinabi, I think his name is, or Ojinobi. I might be butchering.
Yeah, he was arguably one of our best free agent signings of the whole offseason, last season.
Okay, so you're verifying as a Cincinnati fan that he's big for your run defense.
Yeah, I mean, starting defensive tackle always is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, DJ Reader still occupies that spot. He's having an awesome year, and you have another you're actually pretty stacked at defensive line. And
yeah, Trey Hendrickson's over there. Sam Hubbard's played well, but do we have that girth in the middle? I mean, we're gonna have to figure out. I don't want to say we don't. I'll believe it when we see it when it comes to stopping Henry.
I love Trey Hendrickson. I was actually high on the Cincinnati defense coming into this season because your secondary has been slightly underrated for a couple years. Jesse Bates is a baller, but that defensive line was pretty good. I think DJ Reader was a big offseason acquisition last year, and he played like two games and that was it, but he played pretty well in like the few games he was in. Trey Hendrickson led the NFL, I believe, in sacks last year. He definitely led the Saints, had like 15.5 sacks last year.
Yeah, he was like top five. He was like top five.
Yeah, and like mostly people chalked it up because of New Orleans' awesome defensive line and Cam Jordan, which there's some truth to it, but apparently Trey Hendrickson is a legit baller, and dude balled out this year. He killed it in the wild card round. I talked about this on Twitter. Analyzed the game post game, the Raiders Cincinnati game, and really I thought Cincinnati won the game because they had the better quarterback. You know, Joe Burrow just outplayed Derek Carr, but I think the Cincinnati Bengals covered because of the defensive line for Cincy just outplayed Vegas's offensive line and defensive line. Like going into the game, and one of your factors, I think, was Max Crosby. He's going to blow up the offensive line. Like Cincy's offensive line is in big trouble, and it went the opposite way. So that's why I think you guys ended up covering. You guys were going to win because you had the better quarterback, though, and home. So I don't know. I just wanted to give my final thoughts on the wild card game last week because it was interesting hearing people like whine or just all the Twitter voices connecting and trying to figure out what had happened.
Yeah, Twitter's a lovely place. I will say I have my only in detail player prop is of this game, and it is the Ryan Tannehill over 15.5 yards rushing.
Dude, I love quarterback rushing props in the playoffs. I was looking at this. I couldn't get there. The one note that I had is he went over this rushing total in 9 of his 17 regular season games. Regular season games. But
I have that here, too. So he topped 9, and 6 of those were against teams with a 500 or better record. He missed it 8 times, obviously, 17 games in a season. And 4 of those were against teams with a plus 500 record. It doesn't prove too much, sure, but with the Bengals' not poor rush defense, but with a weaker rush defense compared to their pass defense, I expect him to at least carry it 1 or 2 times. And like you said, if the Titans are going to cover, Tannehill is going to have to make some plays, and there should be at least 1 or 2 times where he gets out and gets moving on the ground.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you on that one. I do like the Tannehill over, but I couldn't get enough behind it to actually give it out as a best bet. And real quick, just a note to the listeners, we talked about scheduling on the regular scheduled day, which is a Wednesday. We might move it back next week just because player props trickle out later in the week, and we want to give you guys some more gambling stuff. Next week will be even more important because there's fewer games, right? So we have to hit props, or else we're going to have a 10-minute podcast, and I need to be at least an hour or plus because I just love to hear the sound of my own voice. So, no, I'm just kidding. But we'll dip into props more next week. The reason why we don't have as many props, or I don't have any props this week, is because none of them are out, honestly. But real quick before we move on to the next game, I like Tennessee here because they're elite situationally, and Mike Vrabel is a superior coach to Zach Taylor in that regard. I'm not anti Zach Taylor necessarily, but Tennessee's 7th and 3rd down conversion differential and 5th in red zone scoring differential, whereas Cincinnati's 19th in 3rd down conversion differential and 18th in red zone scoring differential. Also, the Titans are really good off of extended rest or extra prep. They're 7-3 against the spread with a plus 10.9 ATS differential. And there is more money on Tennessee, whereas there's more bets on the Bengals. So it's like a pros versus Joes game with more money on Tennessee and the public hitting Cincy. So I like Titans -3.5, and I'll give it out as a best bet and go into the window. Do you have any closing thoughts about this game?
Nope. Go Bengals.
All right, cool. Next game, San Francisco 49ers visit the Green Bay Packers. The San Francisco 49ers are getting 6 points. The total sitting at 47. I think you can get 47.5 on some books. So obviously shop around. Always shop around before making your final bets. But if you're in New Jersey and Colorado, shout out to Tipico. I like the under in this game, but I can get into it here in a second. Do you have a play on the total or one of the sides?
So I'm going to take the Packers. I honestly don't know if I love it, but they've been a covering machine all season. And honestly, when I was watching the game against San Fran taking on Dallas last week, I think that it was more about Dallas's incompetence than really San Fran's ability to stop Dak. So Green Bay is 12-5 against the spread this season. On the other hand, San Fran ranks 27th in opponent's completion percentage. I think Aaron Rodgers is on a mission this season. I think it was kind of like the Bills last week or the Bucks last week. You just don't really have to overthink it. It's just one team that's significantly better than the other. The Packers are good at running the ball. They're good at defending the run. They're good at defending the pass. They're pretty much great all around. That's the reason they were they 13-4 or something?
Yeah, 13-4.
Also, a small little quirk I found that I wanted to point out there is they're going to Lambeau and they're playing in the night game on Saturday, I believe. So it starts at 8:15. So hear me out. San Fran is 7-6 on grass and 1-3 at night this season. With the late game, Green Bay is 5-0 at night and 12-2 on grass.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. Lambeau's grass, right?
I believe so. That's my. I don't. put as much stock into the surface ATS numbers, but I think the night day splits are very, very interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I wasn't putting everything, like I wasn't making my full claim off that. I just think Aaron Rodgers is a baller and I'm going to take him by a touchdown.
Well, I'm down to listen to more if you had more on why the surface mattered here, but I mean, I think the night day
thing. I have nothing more on why they're 12-2 on grass, but San Fran is 7-6 on grass. I'm just saying 5-0 in night games.
I will say there is something to maybe the West Coast team traveling east to play in a primetime game. Maybe they get, you know, like their biological clock is thrown off. But what's the difference, the time difference? I guess if it's 8:15 there, it'll be, or excuse me, it'd be 7:15 there, and that would feel like 5:15 here. And I mean, another, I mean the Pacific Standard Time.
I think I lost it, but it was something else to do with like the style of the games. Oh, and the cold, not cold. I mean, they went to a dome last time in San Fran. Aaron Rodgers has been playing in these freezing cold temperatures his entire career. I think that's, I mean, Jimmy G was in New England for a little bit, but I definitely think that's notable as well. Yeah. I think Green Bay is just going to be more comfortable with the environment.
Well, absolutely. He's, I mean, the home team, they're one of the best. They have one of the best home field advantages being in Lambeau with the elements as well. So, yeah, both points are spot on there. I'm going to pass for the game, but I'm going to be looking to take the Packers in game. We've seen San Francisco jump out to early lead several times this game. They did this season. They did it to Cincinnati earlier. You guys got back into the game. They jumped out to an early lead against Tennessee. Tennessee stormed back in the second half. And we saw them jump out to an early lead against Dallas last week and then, you know, squander the lead or almost let Cowboys tie that game up late. So I think the same thing could happen here. I think Shanahan could script the first couple drives and get the 49ers ahead, and I can take Packers closer to a, I don't know, coin flip price on the money line, or maybe I can get like Packers -2.5 somewhere in game. So I'll be looking to in game the Packers should they fall behind San Francisco. Obviously, if it goes the other way, then that bet is no longer good. But I like the under 47.5 going back to the pace thing. San Francisco's 29th in seconds per play, and Green Bay is 32nd in seconds per play, dead last. So both teams like to eat the clock. Both teams actually run the ball more than they're given credit for. Green Bay behind Aaron Jones, San Francisco behind Deebo Samuel, actually, and Elijah Mitchell. Also, the first Niners-Packers game was trending under before there was a 27-point fourth quarter that sent that game over the 50.5-point total. The game finished. Green Bay won 38-28. Also, Green Bay doesn't have a very explosive passing offense or explosive offense. They're 21st in explosive pass play rate. And San Francisco actually has an explosive pass offense, but Green Bay's defense is fourth best in explosive pass play allowed. So I'm going to go under the 47.5. I actually do think it's interesting that it's the market's kind of split on this. There's slightly more action on the over, but the money is right down the middle. Do you said you lean towards the under, or do you have no play towards this whatsoever?
Yeah, I didn't really look too much up. I don't necessarily have a play to it. I always kind of feel like the cold weather kind of brings in more ability to hit the under, field goals, maybe have more weather impact. But, yeah, I don't have a ton of play on the under. I just like the Packers here.
Supposedly the thing that affects the under the most is wind. Like, it actually, like, the cold doesn't. If anything, the cold, like, suppresses the total and the prices, making the over, like, giving the over more ROI, more profitable, typically. But if it's windy, and there's snow and wind, then of course the under is more the preferred play.
We're talking, it says 14 degrees, 5 mile per hour winds on Saturday, 16 mile an hour winds and 23 degrees in Green Bay when I searched Green Bay forecast. So
you said 16 mile per hour winds.
I just typed it on Google. That's literally what it says.
Well,
I'm looking at 60 mile an hour winds and 23 degrees.
That's getting to the point where wind matters. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, then
I want to put that underplay in now before it goes to like 43 at game time. If, I mean, we saw it, didn't we see it? We saw it with the Packers, or not the Packers, the Patriots Bills during that snowstorm. It went, I mean, the total dipped to like 36 or something.
Yeah. And also, I'd be pretty surprised if the total went the other way. Like, I don't think, like, if anything, if we sit on our hands here, the total goes from 47 down to, like you said, 43. I don't think it goes from 47 to 50, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
Oh, man, wait a second. There is a small chance Jimmy G doesn't play. If he actually gets announced out, what does that do to the total?
I mean, what's the chance he doesn't play? Is it just through the pain of the thumb injury?
It's, well, I guess he's got a separated shoulder now as well. I mean, I don't think I would assume most of the market is pricing in Jimmy G playing, but no one could price in his effectiveness, right? Like maybe the throwing, the injury to the throwing shoulder and the thumb does reduce his effectiveness. And or maybe they bring in more Trey Lance plays or run the ball more to kind of protect him from injuring that thumb further. But either way, Jimmy G is compromised from a health perspective. So to me, that just adds more value to the under.
Yeah, and also a small note, I looked up Jimmy G and apparently Bosa's still in concussion protocol. So I want him to play. I want to see teams at full strength. But if he can't clear that, that's going to be another huge blow.
Yeah, that would hurt our under to us. It would definitely hurt our under if Bosa couldn't play. But I do think like defensive lineman concussion. Like I don't know. Like, I think he'll go out there and play. Right?
They probably all live with concussions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just don't see a defensive lineman getting sat out or getting ruled out in the concussion protocol.
Just bringing the facts here.
Hey, all right. Facts don't care about your feelings. I got you, buddy. All right, let's move on to the Sunday games. The first one being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Los Angeles Rams. The Buccaneers are favored 3. It looks like it's ticking down to 2.5. So it's a cheap 3. Most of the cash, most of the tickets are on the Rams here, as am I. The total, I guess some more money is on the under, whereas 2/3 of the public is on the over. How do you see this game playing out, man?
So I like the Rams here as well, and it's more because I don't like the Bucs in this situation. I know they beat the Eagles. I thought the Eagles were the worst team. I said I wanted the Eagles to cover. I still did not think they were a good team to be in the playoffs. So Chris Godwin's obviously out. And Tristan Wirfs and Jensen both missed practice today. So there's concerns on an offensive line that's been rock solid all season. Obviously, Brady isn't mobile. Fournette missed last week. I think the injury concerns are just a little too up there for me to feel comfortable with the Bucs here. So also, if I don't know how you watch the Bucs beat the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
It felt like there was just a ton of Brady just checking it down to Evans or checking it down to Gronk. It didn't feel like they had that explosive offense. It was like dink and dunk down the field. I just don't think the Rams or a Sean McDermott coach team is going to allow that to happen.
I think the Bucs could have beaten the Eagles with 10 fucking players out there.
Yeah, it seemed like literally every time I was looking up, seeing the screen, it was Brady hitting some dude for a 4-yard slant or Gronk catching it 7 yards in and running. I think the explosiveness of the Rams defense with Von Miller, who looked great against the Cardinals, I think it's just going to be a difference maker. Also, the Rams ranked top 10 in opponents' yards per completion, so they're going to limit the Bucs. They're not going to allow those extra yards. If they get 3 or 4, they're going to limit them there. I do hate betting against Brady. I did it last week. It wasn't a best bet. I lost it. Maybe I'll lose it the entire playoffs, but I'm going to take the Rams +3 here.
Dude, one of the worst feelings in sports betting is betting against Tom Brady and losing.
Well, it's not even betting against Brady. You just bet against a quarterback that you know you shouldn't. It's like betting for the Steelers plus 13 or something. It was like, I know Patrick Mahomes is just going to put up 40. Like,
yeah. I was dating a Brazilian a couple years ago, and one of the few American, like, she's legit, like, native Brazilian. One of the few American sports stars that she knows is Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is married to Giselle, right? Like, she knows who Tom Brady is. They pronounce it Tom Brady, because they pronounce D's like G's over there. But I bet against Tom Brady, or against the Patriots, took the Rams actually in the Super Bowl. And she just, you know, she just like made fun of me. I was like, why would you bet against Tom Brady? And I was just like, oh shit. Like, even my Brazilian girlfriend's trolling me about my sports betting. Like, so, even she knows so Tom Brady is a lock.
Bucks yeah. minus three, then take it. Don't matter about any of the numbers, just Bucks minus three.
Yeah, you just if you bet on Tom Brady, you win money. That's just how that works. No, I'm going with the Rams. I'm taking the plus three like a sucker. I'm taking the public dog. You know, public dogs get slaughtered. So, you know, this, I almost don't feel very good about it, but, you know, the Rams were my preseason NFC champion. They're actually my preseason Super Bowl champion, and their season is playing out a lot like I thought it would. I thought there would be some struggles in the middle part of the year with Matthew Stafford and just maybe getting injured, opposing defenses catching up to him and McVay and whatever they're doing. But I thought the defense, while it was pegged for regression in the regular season, still is very top heavy and could be playing its best football when the postseason comes. And you were just mentioning how good Von Miller has been for the Rams. I mean, he's graded eighth by PFF this year for edge rushers. Like, he's been phenomenal next to Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. And like you said, Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle of Tampa Bay, who's played every snap over the past two seasons, exited the game last week against Philly, didn't come back. He's not practicing. He's at best a game time decision. I don't think he's going to play if he does play.
And that's an ankle injury. So, like, you don't just come back 3 days later. Even if he does play, he's rocking 70%.
Yeah, and I mean, he's the bookend tackle. He's got an ankle injury, and he's got to stay in front of Von Miller. Does not sound good, right? Plus, there's an injury to the center, Ryan Jensen. Now, he's expected to play, but he's missing practice. And, you know, the center is thought to be the second most important position on the offense behind the quarterback, and I feel like it's even more important when you're going against Aaron Donald. I've mentioned this previously, but Tampa Bay secondary can get picked apart if your pass protection can hold up. And it's been picked apart by the Rams and with their last two quarterbacks, Goff and Stafford. Listen to this. Goff and Stafford have a combined 74% completion percentage with 750 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, and a 2 interception ratio over the past 2 years versus the Bucks. Both Rams victories, and actually both interceptions are thrown by Jared Goff. Stafford went off against the Bucks earlier this year, and the Rams have a significant edge in the trenches, both in run blocking and pass blocking. And the other thing is they have three of the best players at their position at their prime in their peak, right? You have Aaron Donald, unquestionably the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL, perhaps ever. Jalen Ramsey, unquestionably a top five shutdown cornerback in the league right now. Cooper Kupp, probably going to win the Offensive Player of the Year. And just based on this season, clearly a top three wide receiver in the league, right? They just mortgaged whatever little NFL or a drafting future they had by acquiring Matt Stafford. They threw extra draft capital towards Denver to get Von Miller. They're all in this season. And like I said with the Titans, I think it's going to be a culmination of years of work, of progress by McVay. And I think the gamble of getting Stafford's going to pay off. I mean, it's tough to say any team really just owns Tampa Bay or is going to own the Brady. But I think the Rams beat the shit out of the Bucks. I think they beat them by double digits, actually. So,
that's, and I bet if you really love Jeff's advice, I bet you could get Rams -6.5 for a hefty amount.
Yeah, an alternate. I'm actually going to be looking at alternates. That's a good point. Yeah,
if you could go lines. +6.5, probably for almost +180.
Yeah, yeah, I would say, yeah, if you lay more than a touchdown, 7.5, you probably get up to like 225 or something like that. Yeah,
that's sick.
I'd be looking at alternate lines. I wonder if they have those listed yet or if those are like props so they come out closer to game time. I'm going to try to look it up.
I'm not sure I've seen them. I don't know if I've seen them on Tipico.
Tipico, yeah, I'm not sure about Tipico. I'm just looking at maybe another sports book, which I won't name because they're not a sponsor.
Yeah, but alternate spread. Rams +6.5 is -190.
Plus 6.5.
I do not see Rams minus.
Oh, all right.
Rams -2.5 is +135.
+2.5, -135. Okay. Well,
-2.5, +135. So yeah, -6.5 would have to be in the +180s, 190s.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now on another sports book, which again I can't mention. But apparently, no, none of the Sunday alternate lines are listed. But I would look at that either way. If you don't want to get froggy, then I would. I mean, you could follow me and take the Rams. +3. I am going to put some teaser plays on there with the Rams and the Bills, which we'll talk about here in a second, obviously. But I'm not going to really further analyze that. It makes perfect sense, right? Just at 6 points to both the underdogs, which I like. So,
Boys at Barstool will give you 6.5 for +260.
Oh. -6.5, +260? Yep. Holy shit, that's a good price. According to my Bay Area buddy, huge San Francisco 49er fan, Nick Bosa cleared concussion protocol, so I'll probably be playing. All right. Do you have any final thoughts on the Rams-Bucks game? Any play on the total?
I didn't have anything written down for the total. I just like the Rams. I probably would stay away from it. If anything, play the over, you would be trailing the public. I think it could be like a 28-31. I just like the Rams too much. And Stafford's a little too unpredictable because, in my opinion, we've seen him throw 3 picks in a game, so he could go and erupt for 35 or he could go for 13. You just don't know what Stafford you're getting.
Yeah, we could see, like, I don't know, like McVay try to hide him because he could have been injured in the recent weeks and he has been throwing more picks. Plus, they just got Cam Akers back. He looks phenomenal. So by hide him, I mean just run the ball more. So,
yeah.
All right, cool. Going on to the final game of the weekend, to the divisional round weekend, the headliner, the Buffalo Bills visiting the Kansas City Chiefs, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Chiefs are favored now 1.5. Most of the cash and a slight majority of the public is on the Bills. Total is up from 52.5 to 54.5. All the money, all the public is on the over in this one as well. I like the Bills as a side. We can talk about that in a second, but what do you got in this game?
So I'm actually taking the under 54.5. I think it's going to be a huge opposite public play. So honestly, if I were going to bet it, I would probably wait until Sunday because I could envision this getting bet up to 55, 56. So the Bills have probably top-ranked pass defense in a plethora of categories. They rank first in opponent's passing percentage or opponent's passing rating. The Chiefs also rank in the top half as that as well. And while Allen and the Bills' like perfect game was talked about in wild card weekend, I mean, they crushed Bill Belichick. He actually ranked 7th to last, which I think would just be 5th or 6th in expected completion percentage per next-gen stats. So given that both defenses are at least competent, I think we just see a lower-scoring game. I don't see it hitting 54.5, and even if I just really would like to fade the public in this situation, I just almost any game that is over 52, I just automatically hit the under in.
You said any game under 52?
There's not a ton of there's not a ton of reasoning. You don't have a ton. I mean, neither team has a great run defense. They both have great pass attacks. We know that. But we also know that the Bills have one of the best safety duos in the league, and the Chiefs have at least stepped up their defensive game the last few months. So with that, I see it being more like a 27, like a 27, 24, 27 or 28, 24 type deal.
Gotcha. I mean, yeah, 28-24 would put it at the opening total. So I would make, well, just a half point below the opening total. So that'd make the 2-point line move. That'd be giving you your value there, so to speak. So that makes sense. I'm with you on just like how like great Buffalo's safety tandem is. Like, they don't even, opposing offenses don't even really try Jordan Poyer. That's why, like, he kind of goes missing for sections of the game. They don't really even see him. Whereas they'll try the dude Hyde. Did you see that ball that he picked off in the end zone last week against Mac Jones? That was insane. Like, yeah. I don't think enough was made of that play. Like, that was a sick throw, and he got that ball somehow. Like, that was nuts. And, I mean, it was just like, it was early in the game, and it was just indicative of how the game was going to be played. Like, Buffalo played, by most advanced metrics, like, probably the best game in NFL history. Like, they beat the shit out of the Patriots. It was super impressive. Slaying the Giant, even though that's not the Giant. And the team that they built and prepped for is this team, the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, Poyer and Hyde are a top two or three safety tandem in the NFL, and their linebacking core has been there and has been together for years. So I think they're perfectly built to contain Travis Kelce, which really is the straw that stirs the Kansas City drink. Obviously, Pat Mahomes is pretty much the drink, but I think Travis Kelce is more important than Tyreek Hill. And Buffalo is also third in fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends. I mean, Buffalo, you know, this is also an extension of my preseason prediction. They're my AFC champion. They're still in it, so I'm going to roll out with them. They're better in EPA, yards per play, pressure rate, third down, and red zone scoring differentials than the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 7-3-2 against the spread as a road dog over the past three seasons. And I think they can make Mahomes be precise up and down the field. And we've seen Mahomes get antsy and just throw balls into coverage and try to fit it in tight windows, because dude's got like Dirk Diggler's arm attached to his body. The guy's an absolute animal. But he threw 54 passes. So get this. In the Week 5 Buffalo Bills victory over the Chiefs, which is probably their second most impressive performance this entire season, the Bills made Mahomes throw the ball 54 times. He had 272 yards. It was the lowest adjusted yards per pass attempt in Mahomes' career over 63 games. I mean, Bills' secondary is elite. Their coaching should be able to negate Tyreek Hill. They give up the fewest explosive pass plays. And again, like the Rams, I just see it as years of hard work paying off. Josh Allen is playing like a top five quarterback. The Stephon Diggs acquisition that they made two seasons ago has been probably the best acquisition any team has made over the past couple seasons. Sean McDermott, the head coach, has paid his playoff dues. And their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, is the hottest head coaching candidate in the NFL. It feels like a lot of these teams are waiting for his schedule to clear before announcing their official coaching hires, because everyone wants to interview Brian Daboll based on what he's done with Josh Allen. So it's trendy. The public is on it. I'm nervous about that, but I'm going with the Bills plus 1.5. No play on the side. I think we're good here.
I don't hate it. I had Josh Allen listed in every category, every single performer category before the season. He was my MVP pick. He was my Offensive Player of the Year pick. The Bills, we did that preseason one in the Bills. I actually put the Bills for $100 at plus 1,000 odds to win the Super Bowl. I love the Bills. I think they're dynamic. I couldn't get behind him though. I couldn't get behind him with how good the Chiefs are. So I like the play, but it's not going to be on my best bet.
No worries, man. Well, let's talk about your best bets and my best bets in our final segment we like to call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, Nate Dogg, you know how we do it. This is where we wrap up our week of analysis with our best bets. I have five best bets here in the four-game card that we have. How many do you got going?
I only have four. Same okay. as last week.
All right, cool. Well, I have three sides. My three sides are Titans, -3.5, -4. I'm willing to play it up to. I'm going with the Rams, +3, and the Bills, +1.5. How do you feel about your sides, or what do you got going on?
I'm going Rams, +3, Packers, -6.
Okay. Totals, I'm going to under 47.5 in the Bengals, Titans, and under 47.5. Niners, Packers.
I'm going under 47.5 Bengals, Titans. So we're samesies on that.
All right,
and
good
then
stuff.
My last one is going to be the over Tannehill 15.5 rushing yards.
Oh, man. I wish that was like...
I'm 1-0 in props given out this year. Derek Carr over last week was one of my best bets.
Ooh, I had Cameron Brate. I think that was one of my best bets. Over 12.5 receiving yards. Hilarious.
What'd that hit with like 3 minutes left or something?
I think it was early in the fourth quarter, but it was pretty much garbage time. But like that game was garbage time after like the second quarter. Like I felt better about it the longer it went because I was thinking like, all right, if this goes into garbage time, they get Blaine Gabbert out there, they're still going to have Cameron Brate because they'll just sit Rob Gronkowski. So like I felt good about it. And I also leaned, I didn't give it as official play, but I leaned under Damian Harris, I think 55.5 rushing yards. And I think he was under 40. So I went 1-0 in props. Again, we'll hit props harder for the conference title games and obviously a lot harder for the Super Bowl. So I'll probably have to record Thursday next week to make sure we can meet the props because outside of like a little bit of the Saturday games, there's really no props listed. But you've given all your best bets, right? I've given all my best bets. We're good to go?
Yep. Wrap it up.
Thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Best of luck to you guys, whether you fade or follow us. Hopefully our analysis made you sharper. If it did, leave us some positive feedback on the review section and Apple Podcasts. And you can follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much wherever podcasts live. For Nate Dogg, this is Jeff and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Peace out.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.